Let's take our Bibles, as well as there is a handout. Don't have to have it. It might might prove helpful. But tonight we're going to be looking at, this will just be a, if you will, standalone study on Zadok, the faithful high priest. And I have this little handout for you, the back of it. If you want to know which side's the back, it's the one that says notes and it's blank. And the front side of it there gives you the outline, which I'll go over in just a moment, and just some basic information. I thought it might help, and then we'll go from there. So we'll be looking at Zadok tonight. You can turn to, if you like, 2 Samuel, which is where we'll have the first two passages, chapter 15, chapter 17, and then we'll skip to 1 Kings to finish up. But while you're doing that and getting ready, F.B. Meyer, you may have heard of him before. I may have told you this before. I don't know if you know this, but at the end of his letters, we would think of his email today, I guess. But at the end of each of his letters, he more often than not would sign them "yours to count on." I always find that kind of an interesting way to sign the end of an, if you will, email. In that case, that would have been a letter. But it serves as a good example of someone who obviously desires to be faithful to others, and something that we should strive for ourselves. But what you'll discover with Zadok is Zadok was not faithful just at convenient times, but endeavored to at all times. And one of the things I want us to consider as we look at this is not just that, but King David, you probably know this about King David. King David had a lot of, or no shortage, I call it, of enemies. But he did have those who were faithful to him. So in other words, a lot of times when you look at the story of King David, you can find throughout there, there was a lot of people that had an axe to grind with him. We would think of his enemies you see in the Psalms and such. But he did have some people that were faithful to him, and they were faithful to the end. And one of those is Zadok, the high priest. He was faithful, and what we'll see here is not just during the good times, we might think of the easy times, but he endeavored to be faithful to the end. Was he perfect? No, but for the most part, most of the references we have is someone who sought to be faithful to David and, alas, to the Lord by doing so. If you notice on the handout, I have the outline for you just to save you from having to write it out, but you obviously can if you're using something else. But the first thing we're going to do is look at the first of three little pericopes, little stories. Zadok, if you did take up my offer to go and look for him, you probably had a hard time finding him last week because he's just not really referenced very much, more than just a tagline. But there's three key little stories that we're going to look at related to him. But the first one we'll look at is faithful in a crisis. And that is found in the first passage. We'll look at 2 Samuel 15, verses 24 through 29. So faithful in a crisis. Now, you'll notice in there that I have something. It's not really in the outline, but I have an asterisk next to it. It says unpopular. During this particular time, it wasn't the most popular thing to do to follow and to be faithful to David, and he was. So the first story we'll look at, these are short little stories, 2 Samuel 15, 24 through 29. Then we'll move to 2 Samuel chapter 17, where he's mentioned again in 15 through 22, faithful in obscurity. Both of these largely deal with the time in David's life, and I'll touch on it in just a minute, where his son Absalom is trying to hunt him down, we might say just in brief. And one of the things we'll discover here is Zadok remains faithful to David, but he does so in sort of a behind-the-scenes manner. He's not seen as faithful publicly like he is in the first story, but he is here, which is why I have the little asterisk there, unseen. I just want you to kind of get the flow of this. It's a simple story, if you will, of his life. He was faithful when it wasn't popular. He was faithful when people didn't see him. And then lastly, we'll see he was faithful in transition. That's 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 32 through 40. That there is costly, potentially costly. That is, we'll look at in just a few minutes, the time period in which David and his kingship is being transferred because David is about to die. And what you'll discover is Zadok remains faithful to him when it could have been costly, because if someone else had ended up in, if you will, authority, could have come back to bite him, we would say. So we'll look at those three stories. He's referenced loosely, just sort of as a marker of time or indicator. But those are the three main stories: faithful in a crisis, in other words, when it wasn't popular to be associated to David. That's 2 Samuel 15, 24 through 29. Then we'll see the next one, faithful in obscurity. He's faithful even when no one else saw it. In fact, he uses someone else to carry out the work, and that's chapter 17, 15 through 22. And then lastly, in the period when David is about to die, faithful in transition, 1 Kings 1, 32 through 40. And that's just basically the idea there. Again, it was costly, potentially, to follow David. So let's look at, before we, I'll need three readers. None of these are particularly long, so shouldn't tax you too much. But before we look at the first one, faithful in a crisis, let's look at just a brief of the background. I won't spend too long on this, just being that it's a fairly simple one. Zadok, he was a descendant of Aaron. If you think of Aaron from the earlier books there of Moses, but he was a descendant of Aaron. You have this on your handout. He was Israel, who was Israel's first high priest. The main thing is here, I just want you to see where he connects to. If you look at on the handout, I thought you might find this helpful. This is not mine, but this comes from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. If you just are a visual person, both of the priests that are mentioned, Zadok and Abiathar, they're both in this series of stories we're looking at tonight, but you'll see the ancestry of Zadok. So you have Aaron, and then what would be on, if you're looking at it on the left-hand side, you'll see where you get to Zadok. Aaron, of course, you can go through on the other side. Eli, you may remember from earlier in 1 Samuel, gets you to Abiathar. But the point is that Zadok was a descendant of Aaron, the first high priest of Israel. The main thing to keep in mind here is, if you're not good with historical time in the Bible, just think of it simply this way. David is the king of Israel. This is that period of time up to the early days of Solomon. So if you're thinking of it on a linear line, that's what you're looking at. The time of David's kingship to the early portion of King Solomon. Now, that time I mentioned to you, and it's on your handout there, was a difficult days. I mean, David's rule and reign has some peaks there, and so did Solomon's, but David's in particular was definitely a difficult time. What we're looking at here, and in the first two little stories mentions, just keep in mind, David's son Absalom, if you're familiar with him, he's in rebellion against David. And then, of course, there is this desire to succeed David, and we'll see that later on. So Zadok essentially lived in this period of Israel's history that was during the difficult days of King David up till about the early part of the rise of King Solomon. Easy way to think of it. But the main thing to think of is he remained faithful and loyal to David. David was the people's king, or was he God's king? He was God's man, right? I mean, that's the way he is. If you were to look at this one last time, what I would tell you is Zadok and Abiathar are both similar in one thing. They both start off faithful. They're different in another thing. Abiathar doesn't remain faithful, whereas Zadok does. So what's the point? We need to remain faithful to the end. It's one thing to be faithful early on, but we need to the end. So as we look at this first little story here in 2 Samuel 15, 24 through 29, we'll see where Zadok is tested during Absalom's rebellion, where he can choose to stand and be faithful to David, who has been kicked out of Jerusalem. He's not in Jerusalem at this point. So the future is uncertain. And I'll be honest with you, it's not the most popular thing in the world to do, to be friends with David. Doesn't mean that you can't be, but it wasn't David's, if you will, best time of his life. Someone read for me. It's fairly short. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 through 29. David is not in Jerusalem, and his son is after him. And this is an opportunity for Zadok to either be faithful to what David wants or not. So, Sue, you wanted to read it?
Mm-hmm. And Moab Zadok also, and all the men, they stayed there.
All right. Thank you, Sue. Well done on the names. A couple of those names. Sometimes I feel like when I read them, I'm like, blah, 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 get them twisted. All right, so let's look at 24 through 29. So again, if you're not overly familiar or just need a memory jog, just think of it. David is king, but he's been forced to flee Jerusalem because of his son's rebellion against him. It's another story for another day, but that would be, of course, Absalom. And Zadok is mentioned here, and this is where we really begin to see some of his activities, the priest Zadok. He has been previously mentioned. I'll give it to you. It's just by name. A lot of times in the Old Testament, someone's name will be used as a marker or to correspond to another person. It's 2 Samuel 8:17. It's just his name is mentioned as a priest. But Zadok, in our passage that we just read, he and Abiathar are the chief priests. So if you look at your handout, the little chart there, that's the two individuals that are on there, that are at least referenced. And they're both chief priests. And the priests decide that they're going to take the Ark of the Covenant, Zadok and Abiathar, and they're going to take the Ark of the Covenant out to find David outside of Jerusalem. Now, when you think of the Ark of the Covenant, I know there's a lot you could talk about with that. It's an interesting topic. But the main thing for this is to think of it this way. It is a symbol or symbolized God's presence, just for short. That would be the way to think of it. I think, unfortunately, a story for another day, the Israelites sometimes thought of it as a, you know, you have like the rabbit's tail, the rabbit's foot, you know, a good luck charm. Of course, they learned that wasn't quite the case. But basically, the two priests, they go from Jerusalem, they take the Ark of the Covenant, and they bring it to David, which is, on the one hand, you know, nice gesture, and I'm sure it meant well by it, but what you'll discover there, because, of course, that's representative of God's present, and David is not in Jerusalem, but curious enough, the king says to Zadok, verse 25, to take it and return it back to the city. Now, why would David seem to do that? Because on the one hand, it seems like a nice gesture, right? It is to symbolize God's presence with David. David isn't in Jerusalem because of a bad situation with his son's rebellion. But what you'll see is, and this, I don't want to go off too far on this because this is more dealing with David, but just so you understand the background on this, is David trusted in God rather than the ark. That's what you're beginning to see here, because when Sue was reading it, David trusted that if God wanted him to return to Jerusalem and return to his role as king, what would happen? He would, right? When God has something in his will or his providence, do you think that something can stop it? Now, sometimes we don't always act that way, do we? We sometimes are like, oh goodness, if I don't get involved with it, God's plans aren't going to come to fruition. But David had learned a pretty good lesson here, where which was basically this. If God wants me to return and he wants me to continue as king, then I will. The reverse of that is true too. If my days are done, then so be it. Now, you have to remember in the back of David's mind, he knows that there are the promises of God, but he still is trusting that God would do what he says. Davis, in his commentary, says, this act on the part of David indicated that he would had now turned the whole situation over to God for final disposition. I think it's a pretty beautiful picture. I know it deals more with David. So you have the two priests that come out and bring the Ark of the Covenant, representative of God's presence, which is a, you know, depends on how you interpret it. It's a, probably a fair gesture, a good gesture on their part, because David probably didn't feel like God's presence perhaps was with him. But David trusted God. He didn't trust in the Ark, not that there's nothing, anything necessarily nefarious with the Ark, but he trusted in God. And so the point is it pictures trusting God, even though for David, the future was probably unsure, at least questionable. But what does Zadok do, though? Because, you know, imagine taking the ark out to where David was at, and you're thinking you're doing something good, and David says, take it back. Send it back to where it was, and you go back with them. So what does Zadok do? Well, David has said, look, if it's up to the Lord, I'll return back to being king. I'll go back to that place. But if not, then I'll just, whatever the Lord's will is. It says in verse 27, the king said to him, you know, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace. And we discover that when he does that, he says that I'm going to stay here. I'm going to wait on the purposes, the plans of God. In verse 29, they go back and he returns. So Zadok was obedient to David. I want you to see this. This seems like a small thing, but what you'll discover with Zadok is he was always faithful, always obedient to David. It didn't matter what the circumstance was. It's really one of the main things his life shows, is a man who was faithful here, and he just never wavers, and he was faithful to David. David was the man after God's own heart, but he was also the chosen. He is the Davidic king, and Zadok remains faithful to him. So Zadok was faithful to David. He sought him out when many other people had abandoned David. And right now isn't the most popular time to be associated with David. Have you ever needed to be associated with somebody that maybe wasn't popular? And maybe being faithful to that unpopular person, presumably, might be difficult. Well, Zadok didn't really care. He knew he was going to be faithful to David, which was ultimately being faithful to the Lord. Is David his own servant, or is he the Lord's? He's the Lord's servant. And so Zadok sees himself being faithful to the Lord's servant as that. All right, so that one's a pretty straightforward one. The priest comes out, they send him back, they both go, and they both obey. As an aside, Abiathar, he starts off well and he does not end well. He ends up getting kicked out by Solomon. So if you want to be one of those two, be a Zadok. Don't be an Abiathar. That's our lesson for tonight. All right, let's move on to the next one. So that one's fairly straightforward. You need to be faithful when it is not popular, which is typically when we aren't faithful, is it? Now, next, when we look at this next one, it is 2 Samuel chapter 17, 15 through 22, and we'll get a reader for that. So this is generally speaking, if you're not familiar with David's life, generally speaking is the same proximity of time. You have Absalom, and he's now trying to seek out to find David. So what we discover in this set of verses here is we find Zadok. He is serving David, but he's not doing it so much publicly, whereas in the previous one he did. He's going to actually serve David and the Lord, and he's going to do so, and he's going to allow other people to minister to David. But the basic backdrop is the same. As Absalom seeks to find David, Zadok sends a warning urging David to quickly flee to safety. All right, so someone read, this is chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, verses 15 through 22. I think this might be the longer reading. So anybody want to read that? Okay, yeah. And don't fight over it. The next one is shorter a little bit, but this one's a little bit longer. It's 15 through 22. Anybody want to read?
I can read it.
Okay.
And Hushai said to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, this is what Ahithophel counseled, and one remained who had not crossed the Jordan.
All right. Thank you, Dave, for reading that. Well done with the names, actually. Not too bad. I always get twisted on some of those names. But at any rate, so let's look at these verses in a little bit more detail. So 15 through 22 of 2 Samuel 17, faithful in obscurity. This will be the idea of being unseen. So he's not going to be faithful so much publicly as he was in the previous passage here. But first, you'll see that there's this warning, and the warning needs to be delivered to David. Again, if you're not familiar with it, again, same basic idea. Absalom is trying to find and pursue after David. And what Zadok's going to do is he's going to send a warning to David. So that's what we see in verses 15 through 17 when Dave was reading it. And basically, he says in verse 16, he says, now therefore, send quickly and tell David not to do such and such. So the point there is, if David needs to get this warning, His son's trying to find him, and he faithfully warns David to flee and to get out. As an aside, I think the story is kind of interesting, though, because it's curious in those verses, if you noticed 18 through 20, the Lord definitely, we would say, providentially involved there with those passages of those verses, because there is, of course, protection provided in the story there. It says, so David receives the warning there, and he's told to go, or they were told to go and tell David. And then it says, but a lad did see them, and he told Absalom. So you're thinking, what? Something not good is going to happen to to David, but they are actually protected by the messengers. And then David, he not eventually receives the warning, the message, and he escapes from the difficulty. So the basic story with Zadok here is a little bit different. So Zadok, he finds out that something's going to happen, and he needs to send this warning to David, and he uses other people to send the message, and then eventually the message gets to David, and David is able to escape. So as far as Zadok, what's the difference between the first little story and this one? Well, the first one was he did this publicly, he was faithful to David. Whereas here, again, same idea, same pressure, same difficulty with Absalom against David. But in this case, he uses individuals to go and to be able to help David. So Zadok, in this case, was faithful not simply in public, but also when he was serving behind the scenes. So he remained faithful to David in sort of a, we would call it, behind the scenes of situation. There. So the Lord desires that his people be what? Faithful in all situations. That's one of the things with Zadok, to see. In the public sphere, he was told by David to do something and he obeys him, even though it's probably not the most popular to even be associated with David in the first little story. In this one, similar, but the fact is he uses someone else to help deliver this message. I think one of the things as Christians we've probably lost a little bit is that God is not looking for us to be successful the way that the world thinks of success. The world thinks of success as something that is oftentimes visible, right? And even in the church, right? The pastor has the biggest church in town. He's the most successful in God's eyes. The problem is the Bible doesn't teach that, does it? Now, that may be true. That may be that that person is faithful and the Lord's blessed him with a large ministry. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found, what? Faithful. So is it more important to be seen for serving and serving when it's popular or to be faithful? We want to be faithful, right? We need to be faithful at all times. It doesn't matter whether it's a time where it's popular to be faithful and to stand for the Lord or whether or not people even see us. Because there's a lot of people at the church that serve and do a lot of things, I think of. And if they didn't do that, church wouldn't do too well, would it? And so that's the idea of being faithful when other people don't see. And I can think of several people that immediately come to my mind who serve at our church and nobody has any clue about what they do. But that's being faithful, what, when nobody sees? All right. So the first two, you see, that's why I use the idea of unpopular. That's just sort of a way to think of it, as David just wasn't the most popular person to hang out with that time. When you're unseen, because we need to be faithful. But I want us now to move to this last one. It's 1 Kings. So it's not too many pages over. 1 Kings chapter 1. So you remember 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 what? Chronicles. We're going to go just a few pages to 1 Kings. And I'll need someone to read verses 32 through 40 in just a minute. But here we've moved in the life of David. So those first two, easy to remember just at a basic level. David is being pursued by his son Absalom in those two. Here we find David at the end of his life. He's about to die. And guess what's going to happen? There's drama about taking power, right? Whenever there's power, there seems to be no shortage of people that want to fill it. But David is dying and there's this crisis or a drama, we would say, related to his succession. So if you don't know, basically what you have here is Adonijah, excuse me, I can't spit it out, attempts to take David's throne, okay? And what you'll discover, though, is Abiathar, you remember him, the other priest? He's going to side up with him. Zadok has the choice as well. And you read it and you're like, yeah, but I know what happens, but he didn't. Zadok is going to remain faithful to David. David is God's anointed and would presumably check the right person to be subsequent in leadership. And you say, what's the big deal? Well, if Zadok goes with David and David's choice isn't there, what do you think is going to happen with Zadok? Well, it might not be too good. If somebody else comes along that and you didn't support that person, you know, we have that today, don't we? A president comes along or some political figure and you didn't support them over there, what do they typically do? They don't keep you around, do they? So it is going to be costly here. He needs to decide, is he going to follow David or not? Someone read these verses. It's 1 Kings 32 through 40, and it shows basically the idea that David makes his choice, and Zadok is faithful to David again one more time in the text. Somebody want to read these for me? It's 32 through 40.
I just make sure that nobody else wants to read.
Go for it. Then King David said, call me Zadok, please, and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at the noise.
Okay, thank you for reading that, and thank you for our readers and your good pronunciation. It's like tongue-twisting there. But let's look at these just real quick, 32 through 40. So the first thing we see is the king's instructions. David gives the instructions on what needs to happen. So if you don't know the story, you can go back and read the preceding verses. But there was someone else in line to become king, meaning that was going to be chosen. But David has his own choice, in other words, who he's going to have, which is, of course, Solomon. Now, I won't digress on this, but you'll notice in verse 32, you see where Solomon rides on a mule. Often reminds me of Jesus, you know, the triumphal entry when Jesus was to enter in. If you never put the two together, that was oftentimes thought of as someone who's coming as a king. It's kind of an interesting picture there, but story for a different day. So what we see here is David tells Zadok to go and to anoint Solomon. So again, if things don't go well, Zadok's probably not going to be very favored by what could have been the other person who was going to be king. But Zadok here in verses 36 through 39, he goes and he anoints Solomon. And Solomon, of course, becomes the one who is the king. If Adonijah had become king, Zadok probably wouldn't have been around very long, would he? I mean, the possibility would be low. So David says, I need you to go in to do this. Our reading into it would be this way for our study. If you do this and things don't go well, it could cost you. You need to go and you need to do what I've asked you to do. And so he goes and he does that. And of course, Solomon is eventually received and Solomon becomes king. Now, you may not know this, but what eventually happens if you were to read the rest of the story, one of the things that happens is Solomon gets rid of Abiathar and Zadok takes his place. The point I'm making is, if you were to go back to that little diagram, they both start off faithful, but only one of them ends faithful. One of them remained faithful to David the whole time because David was, of course, the Lord's chosen. And so Zadok remains faithful to the Lord, even when it could cost him personally. So what do those three little stories, if you will, snippet text teach? Well, they show Zadok, of course, what is he? He's faithful from the beginning to the end. That doesn't mean he's perfect because there's no one that's perfect. I'm not suggesting that. But it shows Zadok, when you think of him, he was faithful to David because David was God's man. And he was faithful when it was unpopular, when it wouldn't be noticed, and it would be costly. So, thought of three things to follow along with that. First is, let us remain faithful even when doing so is unpopular. Because that's hard, isn't it? It's easy to say. It's easy for me to say it, but it's hard to do. We need to remain faithful even when doing so isn't popular, because there's a lot of things in Christianity that aren't popular today. I know we like to have our heads in the sand and be like, oh no, everybody loves Christians. But my friends, faithfulness to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ is not always going to be easy. I think in the United States, it's going to be progressively more difficult. Who knows? The Lord may change things, right? But the obvious is Christianity isn't all that popular, and following it, we need to remain faithful. Two, faithfulness is demonstrated both in public and in private, meaning it's good for me to be faithful. You'll see me being faithful, but there's a lot of people that do things that are unseen. And to be honest with you, whatever we do away from public eye, we should be faithful to what the Lord's given us to do, how we live our lives, conduct ourselves, those sorts of things. And then lastly, we must remain faithful to the Lord even when it could potentially cost us. Because that's where you really become faithful, when it could cost you something. Think of all the missionaries that have been faithful. What does it cost them? Sometimes our own lives, isn't it? I mean, that's obviously the extreme. So Zadok was faithful when it was unpopular, when it was unseen, and when it was costly.